This morning's first lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. Paul's focus in this scripture is to be found in Christ, finding a righteousness not based on works of the law, but on faith. His goal is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He wants to also share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common curse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One story. Three people. Let me quickly give you the context. We were told it's 6 days before the Passover. This is the night before Jesus was to enter into Jerusalem in what we call Palm Sunday. And this would start a chain of events that would lead to the crucifixion, Jesus' death on the cross, and then to Easter Sunday, Jesus' resurrection. And so he's gathered in Bethany, which is just a few miles outside of Jerusalem, and he'll be making his grand entrance the next day. But he's with great friends of his, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. He's with his disciples, and it's there that we have this story and these three people. We begin with Mary. Mary sees that something's troubling Jesus. Nobody else seems to be aware of it. Nobody's catching on that he's just not quite himself. It looks like he's carrying some heavy burden, which indeed he's doing because he knows he's going into Jerusalem to die. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, he was praying to God, begging God, is there another way? But not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. Over and over he prays this. So I think it's safe to say that the night before he goes into Jerusalem, he may be having some of those same thoughts. So he's carrying this burden with him. And the only one that seems to notice is Mary. And she's wondering, what can I do? How can I show Jesus I'm with him? And she thinks of the perfume. The most expensive possession that she has. She grabs it, she takes it, it's probably being saved for her burial. Perhaps she uses a little bit of it from time to time. You know, a little bit right there. But never very much. But then she takes and she pours the whole thing on Jesus' feet. Hoping that Jesus understands that she's with him. But then comes the interruption. And we move to the second person of the story, Judas. Judas has a whole different mindset going on that night. He's thinking, tomorrow we go into Jerusalem. And this is going to be like Jesus' coming out party. He's going to declare himself to be the Messiah. He's going to rally the people together. And through the power of God and the people of God, they're going to drive the Romans out of Jerusalem, and they're going to restore Israel to its greatness that it had with King David, in fact, go way beyond what that kingdom was. And Judas is thinking, hey, I'm one of the 12. I'm there, you know. When Jesus comes into power, I'm going to have fame, and I'm going to have power, and I'm going to have money, and it's going to be great. So he's all excited, and then all of a sudden, he smells this perfume. And he reacts right away. What is this woman doing? This perfume, it could have been sold, and the money given to the poor. Not that he really cared for the poor. But he didn't see the beauty of the gift. But he was quick to criticize, to complain. And that leads us to the third person of the story, Jesus. Like I mentioned, I believe he was carrying a heavy burden that night. And then Mary pours the perfume. And he's like, Mary, oh, Mary, you understand. You get it. Nobody else is getting it, but you get it. How wonderful you are. And all of a sudden, Judas chimed in with his criticism, his judgment. And Jesus says, a paraphrase here, oh, shut up, Judas. Can't you see the wonderfulness of this gift? You can help the poor anytime. They're not going anywhere. But Mary had to do this. And we have to appreciate it. One story. Three people. Within our church, we have all three of those people here. I know because I've been each one of those persons from one time or another. So we're here. We are the Marys, the one who gives the gift, the one who gives of time, talent, and treasure for the purposes of God, not to be seen by others, but so that it might glorify God, it might build up God's church. Mary is is that empathetic one that sees and understands what people are going through and are there to support them. Mary is the one that's attentive to the details that need to get done. We need Marys. They're important. And then there's Judas, the ones who criticize, the ones who complain. Now, I don't want you looking around saying, all right, where's the Judas in here? What I want you to do is look inside. When have I been the Judas? When have I been the one that's been complaining or criticizing or putting down those that are doing the things that please God? When have I been what's in it for me as opposed to what's the best thing that needs to be done? We're here. Judas is here. And then there's Jesus. Jesus, the one that protects and lifts up the Marys. The one that wants to show appreciation for not only the gift, but the giver. The ones that, the Jesuses are the ones that confront the Judases with their shaming and criticizing and putting down the Marys. The Jesuses are the ones that see the big picture and know the right priorities and keeps people on track to follow those right priorities, to be going after that big picture. One story, three people. We are these people. And we need to seek to be like the Marys. Those that are sensitive to the needs of others. Those who are doing the work that needs to get done. We need to be like Jesus. Keeping our eyes on the big picture. Keeping the right priorities. Keeping moving in the right directions. And we don't need to be like the Judases. Those that are so bound by tradition. The way things have always been done. That they can't see the new things that God is doing. And they lose sight why we're really in this, which is to follow Jesus, to be working for God's kingdom, to be making disciples and caring for those people who are in need, recognizing the gifts that are being given and the beauty of those gifts, and especially the beauty of the givers. One story, three people. Who are you in the story? Amen.